What's going on, everyone? I'm Mike.
And I'm Bash.
And welcome to House of Pod.
The show with hot mics and hotter beards.
That's day 6,000 of quarantine today. I appreciate you calling me hot, by the way.
Let's talk about the microphones.
M-I-C, not M-I-K. Mm-hmm. So we're still kind of bunkered down. Been getting a little stranger, but I haven't even paid attention because I've just been working so much, so I do nothing but work and sleep, which is why Basham is going to be doing the news today. But before we get into that, later on we will be doing our AEW Dynamite NXT review. We also got our first qualifier rounds of our Tournament of Power. Let's just call it Tournament of Heroes.
Yes.
That works.
That also has some villains in it.
That also has... That's perfect. Tournament of Heroes, and then the subtitles, that also has some villains in it. Mm-hmm. I agree. We got Nightcrawler and Daredevil. Nightcrawler versus Daredevil, then Captain America versus Bane, which is going to be good. Should we read the two for next week, or should we wait until later?
Let's wait until after the fight.
All right. Before we get into all that, let's go ahead and talk some news, Basham. I know the speculation wheel is just spinning since everything's kind of frozen in place at this point.
We're still getting news that a few things, actually. Some people are reporting that She-Hulk might be appearing in Spider-Man 3, which I don't think is the case. We also had a false report earlier that the title for Spider-Man 3 was going to be Spider-Man 3 Homesick, but that was actually proven to be false. Someone that was very reliable in the, like, leak stream, had something put up, like, his account was hacked, saying, like, oh, this is it. And they were just kind of playing off the, like, every Spider-Man has
a home kind of thing. I think they are going for that, but that wouldn't be that bad, considering that he's, like, I don't know if he's a fugitive now, or if just everyone knows who he is.
It'll be an interesting movie to see, like, which way they decide to go with it.
Yeah, the lawyer thing. I mean, they are doing the She-Hulk movie or mm-hmm. Netflix Disney Plus show, but we talked about this last week with Daredevil, with Spider-Man being pushed back. There's also a chance that Matt Murdock would be the lawyer defending Spider-Man, and it would make way more sense for him to be that than She-Hulk.
Yeah. And it would be really cool. I mean, all of the Netflix people have a 2-year cool off. So Daredevils will be coming up soon. John Bernthal's Punisher, we get next spring. And then next summer, we get Luke Cage and Iron Fist can begin whining about Kung Lung in September.
Okay. That'd be interesting to get like.
Oh, no. Luke Cage is in September. Sorry. Jessica Jones is next summer.
Gotcha. That'd be kind of. I would say Iron Fist's probably up earlier because they didn't come out with a second season of that.
Yeah.
So that would be cool to have an Iron Fist in the Shang-Chi movie.
That would be really nice to have one. Maybe, possibly recast one that doesn't whine about Kung Lung as much.
I think, I like that. I like that actor. I thought he did an okay... Like, the kung fu was good. I thought he did an okay job. I'm pretty sure the dialogue wasn't the best.
Yeah, he just appeared way too whiny with the, I let Kung Lung down. Like, all right, we get it.
Yeah.
We see Batman's parents die once in every movie. He doesn't bring it up throughout the entire movie.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. With the stuff that's coming out now, like, especially this, like we said, since Spider-Man got pushed back, Daredevil might be in there. I don't know if they would... I'm assuming Punisher would probably be more like when Blade comes out. Or Moon Knight. Moon Knight would be a good one for even Daredevil too. Like a lot of those all the Defender guys would fit really well in Moon Knight. So,
mm-hmm. Which I hope they go full Moon Knight.
Yeah. It's just full schizo.
Yeah, but that's going to need to be rated R then. And
well, that's definitely not going to happen at Disney Plus.
Yeah. But it's just so awesome to see his white costume like covered in blood because he's just beating up some poor fool.
Some poor fool. What else is going on?
We have some supposed leaks about Disney Plus shows. It was indicating one movie was a Weapon X movie.
Okay.
Or Weapon X series. And then we also might get an Agent Venom. Now, I'm not sure if they'd use the new Flash Thompson, although he's available, I guess. But
that would not be good. He's like... not an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. or
that would be interesting.
Whatever. Did Flash Thompson end up becoming a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, or was he just in the military? And then he became a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
I don't remember.
I really like, I don't know if you've ever read the Agent Venom stuff, but there's a point where he was with the Guardians of the Galaxy, and I really enjoyed that storyline.
I have bullet points, basically.
It was an interesting twist on the Venom character that was welcomed.
I'd be okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Plus, then you can... I don't know if he's, like... If that... See, the one thing I don't get, because Venom splits off so many times, can they have the regular Venom and then have Agent Venom? Since it's, like on two separate people? Or was it during the Agent... Can't remember if during the Agent Venom time... There was just no regular Venom.
I have no idea, honestly. The Venom symbiote gets kind of complex.
They got the god symbiotes now.
If we could do a Clone Wars or a symbiote like Wars thing, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I feel like the symbiotes have like diminishing returns when it comes to them multiplying. Like when you get more and more, although like the anti, I think his name is Anti-Venom. He might have changed his name at some point. He was like the mm-hmm. white version.
Yeah, that was Anti-Venom.
Yeah, that was really cool. A lot of the ones that Carnage had, like I said, like as the list went down, it was like, oh, okay.
I just want a Scream movie.
Yeah. That would be interesting. I mean, they can definitely do it in the Venom movie if they really want to.
That'd be interesting. Venom versus Scream.
They can just have the rest of the squad, and then Spider-Man's got to help at some point.
Yeah, Universal Studios, like, the Spider-Man ride is the only thing that she's featured in.
Really?
Yeah. As far as I know. I think she was in a video game briefly, yeah, too.
She was in. I know she was in Maximum Carnage, because they had the whole crew in that one.
Oh, okay.
That game was brutal. It was nice. Little Mike was like, Mom, can I rent this Spider-Man game? Disregard the M for mature rating on the front.
Yeah.
Because, like, the first scene, Carnage bursts through church stained glass and just murders Black Cat in front of Spider-Man.
Nice.
Yeah, it was brutal. Yeah. I forgot what the original topic was we started talking about. Oh, the Disney Plus shows.
Mm-hmm. The Agent Venom one.
I don't think... going with the Weapon X one, I don't want it. I've seen enough of that.
Well, I don't think they're going to do Wolverine.
Okay.
I think it's going to be like the Weapon everything X program? Else. Yeah,
okay.
It's
that Weapon would be X program. Okay. I thought this was going to be like another like Wolverine origin story. It's like just don't.
Yeah, because Wolverine's Weapon 10, remember?
Yes, that's what the X stands for.
Uh-huh.
That's why the title's misleading.
And then somehow you go to X-23, which is like,
Oh, yeah.
Did they change their numbering system?
Anywho, they must have.
But yeah, we still have weapons, you know, 1 through 9 that could be an interesting read. And then, you know, it just ends with, you know, we got this new project, sir. Weapon X. It looks promising. And then, like, that's the, like, outro. And then they come out with a Spider or a X-Men, standalone movie.
That would be nice.
Yes. That'd not going to happen, but it would be nice.
That'd actually be kind of cool if they did that in conjunction with them putting random X-Men characters into the different shows. Yeah,
it would be. I think that's actually what they're going to start to do. Just insert random X-Men into different Marvel movies.
I gotcha. I know that they had Omega Red and Winter Soldier and Falcon Winter Soldier is supposed to be in there. And then Storm is rumored to be in Black Panther.
And Omega Red was in Deadpool 2.
That's right. That is right. He looked weird.
I mean, he's Omega Red.
Yeah. I guess I'm used to 90s Omega Red, which I don't think is. I don't think he actually changed too much.
Yeah, this was just like a dude with an Omega symbol tattooed on his forehead.
Yeah, exactly. Is that all for speculative news?
Yes. Well, there's a few more things that I heard, but it's like really not based in any form of reality at all. So we'll end it there.
Okay, that's fine. Well, before we jump into the wrestling, since everybody's got a bunch of time on their hands, We figured ever since Netflix is everybody's comfort food, aside from actual food.
And everyone's finished the Tiger Show.
I haven't watched it yet, actually. I've heard a lot about it, but I don't know if I care enough to, like... And the problem is I know I'll watch it, and from what I've heard, it'll be like, yep, humanity is pretty terrible. I just don't want that, like...
I was way more intrigued when halfway through I found out these were real people and it wasn't, like, a mockumentary.
And they're like, oh, they're just terrible.
Yes. But at this point, you've either seen it or you're probably not going to see it, or mark it on the see it later for shits and giggles list.
Yeah. So we kind of came up with a bunch of random stuff, different movies, TV shows, stuff like that, that we've seen that people should definitely check out if they haven't. Some old, some new. Who knows?
Yes. And I've got two on my list that I want to see but haven't quite seen yet.
Which ones?
I'll start out with, where is it? Drive.
With Ryan Gosling?
Yes.
That's on Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I heard it was really good. The plot sounded compelling, but I haven't actually seen it yet.
Okay.
And it was one of those, like, oh, 95% match. So I was like, huh, I should get on this.
I have a lot of Netflix. I feel like most of mine are actually Netflix originals. Surprisingly enough.
All right.
When in the movie aspect, Extraction came out not that long ago.
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth playing military John Wick.
Mm-hmm. He could be military Vin Diesel.
No, because I, like, Vin Diesel kicks ass, but, like, oh, yeah, well, he would be more like John Wick mixed with The Rock from Fast and Furious. Just because, like, when he's beating someone's ass, like, physics doesn't apply to his kicks. So there's certain times where you're just like, Jesus, are you Thor in this movie? Like, what are you doing to this poor man? Do you want to just jump back and forth?
Sure.
Go for it. That's, yeah, Extraction.
All right. Into the Spider-Verse is on there.
Yes, that I remember. That's a good one. They push back into the Spider-Verse too, unfortunately.
Yes.
But this is more of a horror movie. I've talked to you about The Platform before, right?
Yeah.
That one's fucked up. So if you're a child, don't watch it because there's like cannibalism in it. And
right. It's like Snowpiercer.
A lot of murder. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. I don't want to get too much into the plot because, like, explaining the premise is like gives you an idea of what the movie is, but it's just, oh, it's so good.
Makes sense. I'm gonna have to go with Moon. Sam Rockwell. He gives like an Oscar-worthy performance in that.
Sam Rockwell. I don't think I've seen that one either. Mm. There's a lot of like movies that were in theaters that are out that I just haven't seen that are on there. And this is an old one, well, a couple older ones, but Love, Death, Robots, nice miniseries that has a lot of like animated banging for some reason.
Yeah, that was odd.
But the ones that don't, like When the Yogurt Took Over the World, are really good.
What's the Obsidian Blue or something?
Was, yeah, oh god, what happened in that one?
I can't tell you that.
I'm like drawn, yeah, I guess.
This artist is obsessed with this blue color. About all I can say.
The other one was Bandersnatch, which is an older one, but since everybody literally has no time on their hands, or has all the time on their hands, it's just, like, there's, like, 6 hours of content that you can dig out of that thing, depending on the routes that you go, so.
Yeah, make it a fun game to get to the end of every one of them.
Mm-hmm. Then you can find the secret code to unlock the actual video game of Bandersnatch online, which is just... too much, but I love it.
I think it'd be entertaining to play.
Oh, 100%.
Moving on, I'm going to go with Hell or High Water. Chris Pine, Jeff Bridges, Ben Foster. He plays the Angel in X-Men, the Bryan Singer versions.
Oh, okay. Okay. I don't really know anything about that.
It's a good movie where the bank robbers are the good guys.
Oh, what a twist.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I have a few because I know my list is a little bit longer than yours, so I'll tie in some of these. Some of the for the comedy guys out there. Middleditch, I love saying his name. Middleditch and Schwartz, the sketch comedy with Ben Schwartz, Tom Middleditch. Tom Segura's Ball Hog was I liked it. I don't think it was my favorite of his stand-ups, but it was really good.
Yeah, it was pretty decent, but yeah, not my favorite.
Dave Chappelle's Mark Twain Prize award ceremony. It's like an hour and a half of just a bunch of comedians talking about Dave before he does like a set, essentially.
Huh. Haven't seen that one yet.
And then, so
it's like a roast?
Kinda, yeah. And for the most, I mean, Jeff Ross is there, so like, oh, you know. Yes, yeah, just to give you an idea, but... and then, of course, Oh Hello, the musical with John Mulaney and Nick Kroll, which I really hope everybody's seen. This is, even if you don't like plays or musicals, this shit is just so funny.
Yeah, those two are just great together.
What else do you got, Basham? So far, I haven't seen any of the movies that you've mentioned.
Well, I'm going to keep on going on that then. Velvet Buzzsaw.
I have seen this one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this one's fucking weird.
Yeah, it's a satirical indie horror film.
It's about like the art community.
Mm-hmm.
It's just and Jake Gyllenhaal's in it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. And I don't want to talk about the plot. It's just good. It's good.
Don't ruin it.
It's just very good. Very very interesting. I really like the take on it.
Mm-hmm.
I have the. I think we. I actually might have mentioned this. A little bit earlier, like in the podcast, but Wandering Earth, that South Korean film.
Yeah, I've wanted to see that one, but haven't gotten to it.
Oh my God. Like, this isn't spoiling anything. So it's like, so the sun is expanding. So the world came together to essentially put rockets on one side of the earth to propel it to a new star.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, because of course that's going to be problems.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's just crazy.
Mm-hmm. The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Oh.
It's like five short, you know, spaghetti western stories.
It's so confusing too.
Yes.
I watched it with you because I remember the first one. I thought this was going to be like a Coen Brothers, like the way the advertisement advertised it threw me off because there were some really good, like not comedy sketches or like things that were in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think the one with Josh Brolin, wasn't he the older brother? Or am I thinking of? I can't remember if it was Josh Brolin. I feel like there's there's like him and like a stumpy guy.
Him and a stumpy
guy. Stumpy guy, or a guy with like all of his arms and legs were like amputated off.
Oh yeah,
that one was like
I forgot about that one.
Whew, I was not ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's some good shit though. The last on my list that is things that are out is a show that we actually discovered while we were looking for this is Cooked with Cannabis, which you thought was another show.
Yeah, I think it's like Cooking with High or something like that.
I've never heard of that. But coming across this, it basically looks like Chopped, but they have to use weed, which is always entertaining.
Yeah, the show that I watched, I can't remember the like actual name of it. It might have been Cooking It High, it might not have been. I probably should have looked that up, but I forgot. It always pitted two people together, but it was just kind of like, okay, today's theme is breakfast food. It wouldn't give them any more criteria than that,
could
do whatever they wanted.
Ooh, that sounds interesting. Yeah, the only closest thing that I heard of weed in it was on an episode of, I think the show's called Most Expensivest with 2 Chainz. And he goes to, like, it's a restaurant in California that, like, makes, like, THC-infused meals. But, like, lobster tails costing, like, $900. Like, some crazy,
How big of a lobster tail is that?
I mean, this is, like, a huge, like, gourmet meal. Just shoved to the brim with, like, you know, thousands of milligrams of THC.
Okay.
And granted, that of course it was like the show was finding the most expensive things of that. So, but yeah, did you have anything that's already out yet?
Oh, the show actually was called Cooking on High.
Oh, okay, right. Okay.
The Witch.
Oh.
It's a pretty good horror film, and it gives you an introduction into New Mutants, which a few stills leaked. They look pretty good.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
I can't wait until everything opens up so they can release it finally.
Yeah, it shows Reyes using her powers, Ileana in front of a dimension to Limbo, her fighting the demon bear, one of those, like, eyeless teeth creature things that you see, like, dropping from the roof in the one trailer.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, there were a few pretty cool stills. It looks great. I want the movie to come out. I've been waiting for so long.
I know. I feel so bad.
And it was, and it wasn't.
Well, I think we might have talked about why it hasn't been thrown on Disney Plus, right?
Yeah.
It's part of their contract that they have to be released in theaters per 20th Century Fox's agreement, which that sucks.
I'm okay with it.
As long as it happens.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they're not like, fuck it, just cans it.
Yes, but main point, Witch, horror film.
Yes. Yes, I actually am pretty sure I've seen that. I know they have a sequel out that came out recently that is not as good.
That sounds about right.
But, yes, this one, this is the same person that directed Hereditary, I believe.
Yes, I think so.
Which is fucked up. Same thing with Midsommar, which is not as fucked up, but still pretty fucked up.
I haven't seen that one.
There's, like, a guy who's, like, they stuff his body into, like, the inside of a bear at one point.
Hmm.
It's, like, ritualistic sacrifices and shit like that. And
okay.
It's crazy. So, the last bit, and this is more or less coming out later on this month, Jerry Seinfeld is having a new stand-up called, like, 23 Hours to Kill, I believe. Which, you either love him or you hate him, I feel. Like, people either like Jerry Seinfeld or they think he's overrated.
Yeah. I'm a fan.
I'm a fan, yeah. So I'm excited for that. But not as excited as Space Force, the show with Steve Carell that follows the wing of the White House that is in charge of setting up Trump's Space Force program that they...
This is either going to be really good or really bad. I don't think it's going to be one of those. Yeah, it's all right. Shows.
I like how the Netflix said the description of it was deadpan. So I think they're gonna do it exactly like that, which I think would make it a little bit better. I just what? So amazing.
Cause Netflix.
Yeah. Get to watching.
One more show.
Oh, sorry.
Midnight Gospel.
No idea.
It's this pink dude in a wizard hat.
Okay.
Goes on what he calls simulations to other worlds, and there's like... Okay, they're having conversation. Like, he's interviewing people for his intergalactic podcast, and...
Okay.
Like, actions going on, like, completely unrelated to anything that they're saying. And they talk about, like, life and kind of, like, I don't know, psychedelic stuff and different experiences and everything. And, like, just the world. And it's just kind of weird because this action's going on, like, completely beyond. Like, these sheepdog things are being taken to a meatpacking plant in one episode. But they're still, like, doing the interview while their meat going through, like, tubes.
What the fuck? What is this?
While bugs are, breaking in and blowing up the, factory.
What's this show called?
The Midnight Gospel.
Midnight Gospel.
Yeah, that's the name of his intergalactic show. So he just kind of, records these to that and, goes on different adventures. And he collects shoes from each one.
Is this an animation or is this live action? Okay, that sounds like... That makes a little bit more sense. I was so confused for a second.
Yes, it's definitely animated.
All right, well, that's good. Yeah.
This is one of those shows, you'll probably know within the first episode if you're going to like it or not.
I gotcha. So, yeah, moving on to wrestling. I mean, not much is happening. Everything's, you can tell, like, I think we're reaching the end of the AEW tapings. Everything's kind of winding down a bit. I don't know what's going to happen after that.
I mean, I guess they're an essential service, so they can, you know, just start to tape it again, which I thought I heard they were going to do. Like, they're seeing who is willing to go through with it and go through more tapings.
I mean, the tapings is fine. Like if you can get everyone in there and get, like, another month out, then that's great. I'm pretty sure WWE went back to doing tapings as well, I might be mistaken.
I haven't heard. I knew they were doing live shows at some point. I'm not sure if they went back to taping.
That shouldn't be happening.
I assume they would go back to tapings after everyone would, you know, the backlash that they would get from that.
Not everybody lives in Florida, so you shouldn't expect these guys to fly out for one day.
Yeah.
And then fly back home and just to fly back out next week.
Yeah, that's pretty annoying.
Yeah. But going into Dynamite, we had both of our semifinal matches for the TNT Championship. I'm going to go a little bit out of order with a lot of stuff, just kind of going back and forth. But we had, well, I'll just fuck it. First, we had Cody defeating Darby Allin to advance. Really good match. There's a lot of back and forth. The ending was interesting because, like, Cody went for a coffin drop.
Cody
went for a coffin drop. Because earlier in the night, Darby put...
Kind of Healy.
Earlier in the night, Darby put Cody in a figure four.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's like they're training, which I love when that happens. But he goes to do that. Darby gets the knees up. Then he goes and coffin drops, hits it. But then Cody kind of rolls to the side and is able to get the pin on Darby. And that's how the match ended.
Hmm.
Like, I think it kind of seemed like maybe Darby thought he was pinning him, but, like, Cody rolled over just enough to where it was his shoulders were, Darby's shoulders were on the mat and one of Cody's was up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Weird.
So it wasn't like he rolled him up into it. It was just like it hit and then he sort of turned while he was all, like, messed up by it.
Hmm.
But
I don't know if I like it.
Yeah, it was interesting. But it was better than how Sean Spears got knocked out.
Yeah.
Being pinned via the figure four. I don't know. Anyway, moving on, we had squash match number one with Wardlow versus Musa, who I believe was also, he's a Chicago boy from, that was in, I can't remember who he faced earlier. He's been there before, but... Wardlow crushed him, obviously. He did this. I was so scared, honestly, for a second, because he did this. Basically, got the guy standing on the top turnbuckle, pulled him off, and while he pulled him off, just kneed him straight in the face.
Oh,
all right. It was so cool looking. And he fucked him up hard, and then obviously his F10 or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Bubbly Bunch week three doing some TikTok thing that I don't understand, where like one wrestler punches the camera and another one reacts, and then they punch the camera and react, but there was like famous people on it too.
Oh yeah. No, that was released. There was like 15, I think it was like female badasses from different movies was in it.
Oh really?
Yeah. Like Rosie Perez was one.
Wait, are we talking about the same thing or is this, no, this two is separate ones? Okay.
Yeah. Cameron Diaz was on one. Drew Barrymore. I think Lucy Liu was in that same one.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just like badass female characters. I believe Florence Pugh was in it too.
Yeah, they had Jane Silent Bob was in this. Corey Taylor from Slipknot. They had Lou Ferrigno, which is probably my favorite, just because at the end Jericho is like, "Oh, wait a minute, that was awesome. Was that Lou Ferrigno?" So that was pretty good. After that, we had Best Friends versus Jimmy Havoc and Kip Sabian, who I cannot remember what they're calling themselves.
Oh, I think it was actually a really good name, though.
Yeah, it's totally just slipped my mind. I don't know. And I didn't write it down because I suck. So,
that's just bad reporting right there.
I know. I'm tired, Basham. I can't help it.
It happens.
It was a pretty good match. There was a lot of high flying and weapon spots. Orange Cassidy was actually taken out earlier in the match by Jimmy Havoc, which was very smart. Penelope was able to do a lot of distractions, but at the end she tried to distract, but it ended up Kip Sabian ended up getting sent like into the guardrails,
and then Taylor just like spiked Havoc onto a pile of chairs for the win.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You always got to love a pile of chairs.
Everybody loves a pile of chairs. And then what do we got next? Oh, yes. I wrote down.
Oh, the Super Bad Death Squad.
Super Bad Death Squad. That's it. Up next, we had Shawn Spears versus Baron Black. I just wrote job, 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 job with the quotation. I'm assuming I meant when like job, 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 job. Because that's what it was. It was just a squash match. Followed by another squash match, but this time it was with Marco Stunt.
Oh. Yeah, that's been happening a lot.
He's like the next level squash guy.
Mm-hmm.
Him versus Brody Lee. And I mean, he just threw him around. It was kudos to Marco for taking those bumps, man.
Yeah.
He's like, oh my God. That was intense. I think at one point he like just picked him up and threw him out into the crowd. Or the crowd of wrestlers that are out yeah. there. Over yep. the barricade for sure.
I love when people get tossed.
Right. And then our last match of the night was Lance Archer beating Dustin Rhodes to move on to the TNT Championship Finals. So it'll be Cody versus Lance for the championship, I think, next week.
Sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lance might win this one.
I'm pretty sure. Either that or this is work. No, Lance is always going to be a heel. Cody can't go heel. That doesn't make any sense. Not right now, at least. But yeah, that was a brutal match. Between Dustin and Lance. It was definitely the longest match that Lance has had on AEW so far. No. Like, he didn't just squash him. Like, Dustin got some good offense in. He got busted open. I think Lance, like, kicked him in the head with a chair or something like that.
No. Kicked him in the head with a chair. Or, like,
he had a chair and then he kicked it and something. Yeah, I can't remember exactly. All I know is the chair made contact to the face, the foot was involved, and then Dustin was just bleeding all over the place.
Man, he likes doing that.
Mm-hmm. But Cody, at one point, QT Marshall almost threw in the towel, and then Cody's like, don't do it, don't do it, and stops him, and then just Lance, looking at Cody, just takes Dustin's head and starts slamming it into the mat over and over again, and that's how he beat him.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, okay, good ending. It was very solid. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's... Well done.
Yeah. So we're going to have Cody versus Lance for that match, and it's going to be fucking awesome. He's going to be brutal. I really like Lance Archer. They're doing a really good job of making him look like just a monster.
Yeah, just
like an absolute, like a sadistic monster. Not like Brody Lee is a monster, but he's like elegant.
Mm-hmm.
Like he says.
Yeah, but like he wants to be.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, how was everything on NXT this week?
Actually, I want to see one final note for AEW.
Oh, yes?
I kind of wish that they would do more with the Dark Order, though. Because it's kind of been, like, the Brody Lee show now, and it wasn't, like, the Dark Order kind of trying to recruit people.
Well, they actually, last week, they kind of recruited someone, but they didn't, I don't think they revealed who it was.
I thought it was, yeah, just like some random jobber.
Unless that random jobber guy that I saw on Instagram was also, like, that who it actually is. But the guy...
Do you play football?
Yeah, exactly. So, but I haven't seen him on TV yet, I don't think.
Ah, okay, well. It just kind of seems like they started like lacking off on that as soon as Brody Lee was revealed, which I'm happy he's getting a spotlight, but...
Yeah, I'm sure they're just kind of...
elevating each other.
Yeah, well, that could also lead... Because I haven't seen, like, Evil Uno in a while. Like, he's Brody, aside from the... vignettes, Brody Lee's been the only like Dark Order member that's been wrestling or doing anything. So
yeah, I want the other two. Like that chair of minions is not going to sit in itself.
Yeah, I'm sure once. Yeah, that's very true. I'm sure once all the quarantine stuff is kind of calmed down, they'll be able to get that back going. I'm assuming that's why they're like, well, okay, we got to film a month of wrestling. We'll just have Brody squash all these guys.
I mean, I guess yeah.
Yeah.
Easiest $10 he's ever made. anyway, we start off NXT with Isaiah Swerve Scott versus El Hijo de Fantasma. It was a good athletic match, as you would expect. But the finish was odd. It was like Swerve put Phantasmo on his shoulders, and then Phantasmo countered that, and then Swerve countered the counter, and he got the 1-2-3.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've said for like, yeah, the last two times that, oh man, like Swerve's been getting a beating, and he beat Phantasmo in his second week.
What the Swerve?
Yeah, they're like, oh, hey, here's your debut, and, well, you lose. Yeah, but then we get a promo. Dijakovic is walking through an orchard for whatever reason, and he's like, that's big words. How do you feel about facing someone twice your size? So I guess we're getting Dijakovic versus Gargano next week. And then when we come back from commercial break after that, we find out that Phantasma almost got abducted again.
Almost got a what?
He almost got abducted again.
Oh.
By the people in the van. They're trying.
They're really trying.
Mm-hmm.
What an odd storyline.
Yeah, they're just like, well, we're going to abduct people from the parking lot. Tweet people in luchador masks. But moving on to that, we have Casey Catanzaro versus Candice LeRae, who has new music, new video, and a new finisher called the Wicked Stepsister. It's essentially the original version of the curb stomp. It's like, you know, you do the surfboard thing, so arms behind their head,
mm-hmm.
and then you stomp on their face.
Oh, okay.
I believe somewhere there's a clip of the Young Bucks super kicking Candice LeRae, and I don't remember who it was, but then someone gave her that surfboard move. It's a fun little thing to look up. But yeah, she gave the surfboard stomp to Casey Catanzaro and beat her 1-2-3, which I feel sorry for Casey.
Yeah.
She's never been used in like a main storyline.
Cool.
But next up we have a Riddle and Thatcher promo, sort of. It's the Newly Bro Show, hosted by Byron Saxton.
Nice.
Parts of it are hilarious. I guess it's not for others, because some parts of it, people are just like, all right, never show me anything like that ever again.
Oh, poor Byron. Did I just rip on him the whole time?
Oh my God, no. Byron Saxton was actually, as a cheesy game show host for Matt Riddle and a very, very annoyed looking Timothy Thatcher. Like, this was, every one of them played their roles perfectly. Including Imperium, who interrupted and gave a European bomb to Thatcher in the middle of the ring at the end.
Very nice.
So I guess Balor's not feuding with them anymore?
It's because he's stuck in a different country for now.
Yeah. Well, they already put that on hold, kind of.
Like, we're used to WWE forgetting storylines, but now it's like, oh, there's an actual excuse that all of this stuff just isn't happening the way it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but everyone seems to be attacking Pete Dunne and Matt Riddle, so... We'll see who gets the title next. Everyone's calling him out. Maybe we'll have some kind of epic fatal four-way ladder match or something. Money in the Building's coming up.
That looks so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I've been meaning to talk about it on the podcast, but like, and now they're doing the women's and the men's at the same time.
What?
Yeah, the women's and men's Money in the Bank match.
I didn't hear about that.
At the exact same time.
So is it just going to be different camera cuts to like random spots throughout the building?
Yeah, it's like both of them are hanging on the top of the building at the same spot. So they're going to have to work their way up. But it's like, yeah, they're just both going to be there.
Okay.
So ridiculous.
No. I'm all right with this, actually. I hope it's just a bunch of, like, pre-shot scenes where you see people being, like, drop-kicked through, like, cubicle walls and, like someone being scanned on the printer.
You gotta have a moment where everybody, like, throws Braun off the building.
And oh, my.
Just because he's
Braun tips the building?
That would be awesome, but then he comes back, but he has to break through something. Like, he kicks down the door before everything happens. He's just, like, covered in, like, dirt and debris and is all bruised and battered.
Oh,
and
my.
Then he tips over the building.
He's like... is Braun even in the match?
I think
he is. Oh, no, he's facing The Fiend.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, like, he's the champ. Why would he be in the ladder match?
That's right.
Okay, so the Fiend's throwing Braun off the building, and then he's gonna... Oh, no, maybe Braun throws the Fiend off the building, and then he comes back, like, covered in concrete and everything.
I'd be all right with that. That's the only person that would actually work for, because I was trying to think of who the other bigger guy would be in the ladder match, or the Men of Money in the Bank, but, like, Braun is so much bigger than Baron Corbin.
Great Khali.
He just shows up just to fall off the building. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll be doing our predictions for that probably Thursday or Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Just so we can get that out, and then yeah, we can talk about it next week. It'll be interesting.
Yes. Back to NXT, though. Yes,
indeed.
We get a Adam Cole promo. He promises victory over a Velveteen Dream next week. It was standard. It was good. You know, it's what Adam Cole does. Then we get a Charlotte Flair versus Mia Yim match that was hyped up. And it was pretty good. You know, it was a lot of Charlotte being a heel. Mia Yim kind of looked good, but there were at some points where Charlotte was, you know, healing it up and making her look weak.
Mm-hmm.
Yim definitely had a snapping point, though. So there was a nice back and forth. She gets like a code blue at one point, and it looked like she had the win. And then Charlotte kicked out at two. Counters a protect your neck into a figure eight, and then she has to tap. But the important part is, as Charlotte's leaving, Io Shirai's music hits. So I guess we're getting that next week.
Nice.
I'm okay with this, except for the fact that I don't think she's going to win, but I want her to.
I don't
like... I really want Io to have the title. She deserves it. She's so good.
I think that Charlotte having the belt is doing exactly what I thought was going to happen when Charlotte had the belt. She would come down from essentially having all of the women's championships and the regular roster, and then just like destroy everyone in the NXT roster.
And then whoever beats her is going to look like a megastar.
But why would you sacrifice those many women wrestlers for one person?
Because, well, see, that's what Shayna Baszler was, and then there's Charlotte, just like
they fucked that up. Oh yeah,
we'll just take that.
They fucked that up.
Well, I mean, she was promised a title run. You can't take the title off of Becky. And for some reason, they're not taking the title from Bayley. Oh, because we were supposed to get Bayley Sasha. So the NXT title was the only thing they could go after.
That's not happening. Is that Money in the Bank, is it?
Yeah, well, I'll actually rephrase that. You could take the title off of Becky, and it should have been given to Shayna, but you can't have Charlotte take the title from Becky.
Yeah.
Everyone would be like, oh, we're getting this match for the 9 millionth time.
Ooh.
And she's probably going to win, because there'd be no reason to have this match otherwise. Moving on.
Yeah. So just random tangents thrown in.
Yeah, moving on. We're getting EO versus Charlotte.
Oh, exciting.
Next up, we have Dexter Lumis, who decimated the Undisputed Era last week, facing off against Shane Thorne. Not the vampire, the other one.
Okay.
Yeah, the one in the Mighty.
I was confused. Well,
before it was disbanded. I mean, yeah, the vampire roles always got over with Vince.
Yeah.
I mean, there was that one time, but...
There was that one time.
Yeah. But yeah, this match kind of ended as like you would have expected. Although Shane got in a little bit more offense than I think, considering Dexter Lumis did dominate the Undisputed Era. Eventually Lumis did his little like weird look thing. Shane ran at him, got a big old spine buster, into a Uranagi side slam into they called it a, Kata Katami. It's basically the Anaconda Vice,
okay,
but you can't say that for fear of CM Punk chants. I don't think you'd hear them in NXT, but if he was called up to the main roster and they called it the Anaconda Vice, you'd probably get some. But yeah, he basically passed out, which made him look like more of a badass. He didn't tap out, so that was nice. Shane Thorne, I guess, is getting a push, or they're just, okay, let's make everyone look good during a pandemic.
Can I say something really quick? I guess this doesn't necessarily work with most submissions, but... If given the choice of tapping or just fighting until you pass out, why would anyone tap?
To prevent yourself from getting hurt?
I guess I'm also looking at it at like a not necessarily storyline perspective, but like if you're going to make everyone strong, just look good, just have them pass out. Or if, like, you're...
Now, they can only do that with certain people.
I gotcha.
You can't do that too much, because then it's like, oh, okay, he submitted him to pass out again.
Again,
Law of diminishing return.
I gotcha.
Plus, then certain people's finishers look weak.
Yeah, that's very true. I guess that would only work with, like, chokeouts, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but afterwards, Dexter Lumis kind of, like, cradled and petted Shane Thorne's head. So that was weird. He continues on this, like, creepy, I'm going to destroy you kind of... serial killer vibe he's got. I like it.
All right.
It's kind of like Dexter Lumis combined with Dexter Morgan.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Then we get the not buttery voice of Keith Lee because he got hit in the throat with a nightstick.
Fucker.
Yeah, well, he's fighting Priest later, so, you know, that happens. Next, we get another interim cruiserweight match. It's Drake Maverick versus Tony Nese. I still don't know if Drake's on his way out of the company or not. This match was really good, and Drake Maverick actually pulled out the underdog win here.
Wow.
At this point, I hope it got to the point where he gave him the, like, underdog, only for a two count, though. Nese, like, pummeled him some more, was going up to the top rope. Maverick just, like, followed him, gave him a bulldog, and got the win.
At this point, I hope it's not, because, like, that's just a tease.
Like, a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like a crowd would have really helped Drake Maverick out here, though.
Yeah.
Like, they would have been going nuts just seeing him, like, go up to the top rope.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And the bulldog, yeah. And especially the 1-2-3. Yeah. Such a pop.
Mm-hmm.
So much emotion. And we move on to Lee and Priest.
I hope Lee destroys him.
Yes, it was another giant cruiserweight division match. It was actually pretty good. A lot of back and forth. Lee pulls off a corkscrew pescado over the top rope at some point. Out, you know, just because he doesn't obey the laws of physics like Captain America's shield.
What the fuck?
Priest, not to be outdone, does a just splash over the top rope without actually touching the top rope, which was pretty impressive. It was really good, but Lee wins with a double powerbomb. Like, at some point, Damian Priest gets the title and his little riot baton and, you know, throws the title in first, so the referee is distracted for an odd amount of time. I guess he's making sure the title's folded up properly before he gives it back. So, yeah, then Priest tries to use the, like, nightstick or whatever, and Keith Lee just kind of, like, grabs it and goes, "I am limitless!" Like, rips the thing out of his hand, like, swats him away, basically. Hands the nightstick to the referee.
There you go.
Double spirit bombs him. Just, like, spirit bombs, the referee counts to one, Lee picks him back up, hits him again, 1-2-3. And we bask in his glory as NXT goes off the air.
He is limitless.
Yes, he is.
He's like GOAT. Like, I would not be surprised if he was like, yeah, you know that show Dragon Ball Z? Like, you know how Goku always surpasses every limitation that he has?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to make that my character.
He just grows out a Goku haircut.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, he gets called up to the main roster. That's what Vince would make his character.
Just Goku?
Yeah, just every time they say it, you'll have a different hairdo. It'll be great, like that Japanese show.
Oh.
Old man Vince.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty then. Moving on to what is probably a pretty long segment that we're going to have.
Series of segments.
Yes. Long series of segments. The Tournament of Heroes, and there's also villains too.
Mm-hmm.
There's also villains. No, we got a
Tournament of Heroes and some villains.
We got to say it properly. We're like, Tournament of Heroes, heroes, heroes. And also villains too. Just like that.
Yes.
So we got, like we said last week, there's 8 qualifiers. We're going to do like two at a time in various spots, depending on if something important happens. You know, usually this is the end segment, usually the big thing. So let's just kick it right off. Which one do you want to do first?
Let's go with Nightcrawler versus Daredevil.
Ooh, the one that we've like been debating a lot.
Yes. Since we were split on this one, would you like to start with Daredevil?
Yeah, sure. So I guess we could just run down their sets. So the rules of the thing, I believe we talked about last week, but do we say that it's in like an air, it's inside like a building, basically?
Yeah, inside of a empty arena. Are we doing open roof or
we'll do closed roof.
Okay.
Closed roof arena.
Oh man, Flyers have no advantage.
Yep.
Well, let's make it a cube then. 100 foot by 100 foot by 100 foot.
That works. My reasoning behind why I think Daredevil win this fight. A lot of it has to do with just his heightened senses. Because we can go into a little bit more of Nightcrawler afterwards, but with Daredevil, like some of his feats, he's been able to like.
he can hear up to 5 miles away if he concentrated. Like, he can smell blood pressure rising.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, like, that shit's crazy. So,
and hearing heartbeats, but then for some reason he forgot how to hear heartbeats in the show.
Yeah.
But he heard breath.
Yes, he did. But when you add that mix with his, like, radar sense, like, there wouldn't be much of a way that Nightcrawler can get a jump on him unless he's, like, multi-teleporting around super fast. Which he can do. Which he can do.
Lots of bamf.
But Daredevil isn't one to fuck about. That's my only reason, because that's my only reasoning, is I think this match could go his way, but as long as it's, like, a UFC fight. It's, like, 30 seconds long. Like, Nightcrawler doesn't get a chance to do his, like, big multi-bamfing. It's just that he bamps away. Daredevil immediately feels where he's coming because of the air pressure change and then the brimstone smell, and just cocks him straight in the head. And I don't think Nightcrawler has as much durability as Daredevil does.
That's debatable.
Because Nightcrawler is, but like...
Yeah, while I almost said Captain America, that's next. While Daredevil has taken a backhand and being thrown into a wall from the Hulk.
And like, yeah, and he's survived like several story falls.
Yeah. While he does that, Nightcrawler has taken punches from Colossus and Spider-Man, who is arguably not as strong as the Hulk depending on where he is.
Yeah. I guess durability would be slightly
dependent on who's writing the story.
Yeah, I guess that's very true. But then also his speed and agility also depends on that too, because there's been instances of Daredevil has like dodged machine gun fire at point blank range. He's like swatted away bullets. Like, that's really fast.
Yeah, with his nightsticks.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's stupid fast.
Which actually, Nightcrawler does the same thing with a sword, and he can also dodge machine gun fire.
Yeah. So, that also leads me to the multi bam thing. While like, yeah, he can't your argument with Nightcrawler is he can't, or with against Daredevil is he wouldn't be able to react fast enough. But if he is able to dodge machine gun fire and reflect bullets with a nightstick, I don't see why he wouldn't be able
He knows where the gun's firing from. He knows the trajectory it's going to come at him at. But while Nightcrawler can hit him at least 4 times in a second, depending on which comic panel you look at. Because they show him in 4 places at once striking someone simultaneously, basically. So he can multiport several times per second. While Daredevil's reactions are at Olympic level and sometimes beyond, depending on the writer, I still don't think he'd be able to, like, okay, he's coming from, oh, shit, boof, bam.
I don't see, but like...
And also, Daredevil has superhuman agility. He was once recruited to train Spider-Man how to fight because we had someone that was so agile, it was Spider-Man's spider sense was rendered useless. So, of course, they recruited Nightcrawler, and he fenced Spider-Man and Deadpool at the same time.
You said Daredevil has superhuman agility. You meant Nightcrawler.
Sorry, Nightcrawler. Yes. My bad.
I feel when you say he can bam 4 times a second, I feel like you can get more shots of a machine gun out faster than that.
Probably, but they're still all coming from the same direction.
But the fact that he can feel the air move around him is what...
Oh, yeah, he'll feel it. He'll know exactly where he's coming from, but it'll be over here a half of a millisecond, then it'll be behind him a half of a millisecond later, then it'll be sweeping the leg, Johnny, a half of a millisecond later. So you see the problem here? By time he goes, he's over here, oh, shit, I'm getting attacked from, oh, crap, now I'm getting...
Well, that's another thing, because, like I said, the artist, depending on the writer or the artist, like, the shot, the actual frame of Daredevil swatting away the bullets was him... Essentially, he was jumping forward and turned around to knock them away. So, like, he knew where they were coming from and was able to turn his body and react to it.
Well, yeah, because he knows where the gunshot's coming from.
But the gunshot would be the same thing as the BAMF.
No, he doesn't know which direction it's coming from. You know where someone's firing a gun from.
Yeah, but
and then the bullets can only come that direction.
But that's not the point. Like the BAMF would be like multiple different, like there's a person here, like if he BAMFs in like four different spots in that 1 second, let's say it's like on different sides of him, like that would just be like four separate gun firings, because like the same thing, like he would probably feel the pressure from the gun going off, so he would know where it is to give him enough, give him the time to like turn around and do that. Mm-hmm. So if he can react that quickly, if he can basically, when someone fires a gun, he's able to move so fast that he can turn his body 180 degrees and swat it away with that, then there's no reason that he shouldn't be able, if he goes and bamps to the front of him off to the right and then bamps to the left, bamps to the back left, there's no reason Daredevil wouldn't be able to like go for a swing, feel it coming, kick a leg out, feel it coming, do that, because then you throw in his acrobatics with that and he'd be able to move with what's going on.
But he can't do that because Kurt is more acrobatic than him. He has a spine that allows him to move way more than a human does, along with all of his hands and, well, I guess hands makes sense that it's prehensile. Well, he's got a prehensile tail and his feet can also grasp. So you have to contend with all
of that. Has nothing to do with his BAMFs, though. His
Yes, it does.
His acrobatics don't necessarily matter because he is not being acrobatic. He is just teleporting.
Yes, but you still have five things to strike with. So even if Daredevil's blocking one of them, let's say, for example, Nightcrawler throws a fist out. Daredevil goes to block the fist and punch his own. Nightcrawler uses that to block his fist. He's still got two legs that he can either grab and throw with, or a tail. And then he's also got Daredevil in his grasp, which means he can BAMF. So yes, Daredevil has survived multi-story falls, but let's say Kurt goes, all right, he survived 40 feet, let's try 50. Oh, he survived. BAMF's back on top of him, let's try 60.
Well, they can't kill each other. That's...
I know, but as long as Daredevil's still conscious, he can just keep dropping him over and over, and then the nausea of being BAMFed once, and then the smell of the brimstone and hearing the BAMFs will destroy his senses. And eventually he'll just feel pressure coming out of every different angle, and he won't know where Daredevil is. That's what I was saying. If he can do it multiple times per second, he just feels him coming from every direction. Kind of like in the show with the guys that stopped their heartbeat or whatever and were holding their breath. Like, he didn't know where they were coming, but eventually...
But that, I feel like that also leads into, like, Nightcrawler is able to get... Like, it tires him out. Like, he's trained himself to where it doesn't tire him out when he teleports. But I don't think you would take into account... Like, the way that you're describing it, he would be teleporting nonstop.
Not completely nonstop. He's only got to do it a few times. I'm sure Daredevil's not gonna enjoy all those falls going from, all right, I just landed 40 feet. I'm still oh, that's 50. Oh, that's 60. So he's really only got to do it like 4 or 5 times, which he's been shown to do. And he's teleported multiple X-Men before at the same time. So I don't think it'll stress him out that much to where one fight... I mean, if you're trying to do, like, Juggernaut or something, that might start to get strenuous because of the powers of the crystal, but that's a whole new topic.
I mean, honestly, like, if you're... The dropping thing, I don't get that. I don't see how that would even be a factor because his baton is also, like, the ropes. So, like, if he's falling 60 feet, the moment he realizes that, he would be able to throw it out and catch something.
And then Daredevil, or
but not, he would not Daredevil. He would never hit the ground, though, because it would just be a constant game of that.
Not necessarily, because Nightcrawler could then grab the nightstick and teleport half of it away, and he's only got to do that twice, and then Daredevil has no more weapons. I just don't see how Daredevil can beat him. I'm saying it's a good fight, maybe like on the street with the element of surprise. Daredevil takes it a lot of the time, but in an open arena with nothing to hide from, it's got to go to Nightcrawler.
And see, but as somebody who is probably I can't say one of the biggest, but is a huge fan of Nightcrawler, like my favorite X-Men, I think you're giving him far too much credit with his teleporting ability. Because I don't think
you're giving him enough.
No, I don't know, like, he's gotten crazy over the years with, like, being able to, like, go to, like, different, like, ethereal planes. Like, I think he can teleport to heaven now since he died at that one point. Like, shit like that. Yeah, he can like,
cross-dimensional.
Yeah. But, like,
he also teleported from Genosha across the sea to the X-Mansion with a series of short hops. So he can do it.
Well, yeah, but that, I mean, the distance travel doesn't necessarily, like, mean much, but I don't know.
I think in this case, eventually it's gotta go to Nightcrawler. I'll say 7 out of 10 times Nightcrawler takes it. Daredevil gets it the other three.
I would if Nightcrawler was able to play the long game, I think Daredevil would be able to take it. But yeah. Then at the same time, Daredevil's not one to play around though.
I know, but this is a fight we're both putting him in an arena. It's not like
Hello,
sir. Why are you trying to attack me?
Well, yeah, obviously. Moment. But then it's you have to also take into account. It's like yeah, it's a, like they have a set of rules. They're both like heroes if they're going with that aspect. So they wouldn't go all out. And if you really want to take Kurt's character into play. The Christian side of him probably wouldn't just go and try to destroy him right away, which would give Daredevil
I thought they were both Catholics.
Yeah, but Daredevil is, like, he's more of a, like, struggling with his faith kind of thing, where Kurt is, like...
And no, we're not putting character into this. This is just they're battling for our amusement.
Okay, I see. Okay.
This is their... Come on, they're in a 100 by 100 by 100 cube fighting each other. This is not, like... character play. This is, oh, we have to do this. I'm thinking in that case, Nightcrawler takes it.
Yeah. I'd probably have to give it to him, even though...
Begrudgingly, I know.
Begrudgingly.
And yes, this would be a tremendous fight to watch Daredevil, each time.
Daredevil's far more skilled of a fighter.
Yes.
That's for sure.
That I have to agree with you 100%. Daredevil's way better. But I also looked into that a little bit with the fight, because a lot of his styles involve grappling. Like a lot of the, okay, ninjutsu striking and grappling, but then yeah. Like judo and I forgot the other one he had. I think he has hapkido and jujitsu, but those all require you to like hold your opponent, which Kurt can do the bamf.
He's still holding on to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, but you can while he's doing a hip toss to throw him onto the ground. All of a sudden, you know, he's in a different position, standing sideways on a wall. What the?
Yeah, I guess if you're doing like German suplexes, it wouldn't do much to him.
Yeah, and also you got to take into account the opening scene of X2.
Yeah, but
the best Nightcrawler scene we have in cinema.
I agree with that. He definitely wasn't moving as fast as you're saying.
No, he wasn't there. But
yeah, Daredevil would have been able to stop that shit right quick, especially in closed corridors. Daredevil's most dangerous when he's in a hallway.
Oh my god, we've seen that.
If this was a hallway fight stairwell. If this was a hallway fight, Nightcrawler wouldn't stand a chance.
That's why when we were first talking about this idea, I'm like, okay, what's the arena? Because it's going to matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if Namor's fighting in a desert, I mean, his powers aren't too impressive.
But yeah, that's very true.
If Namor's fighting Batman under... Okay, never mind. That's a bad idea.
Yeah, you can't use Batman.
Mm-hmm. That's why he's banned from this one.
So yeah, first qualifier round goes to Nightcrawler then. Which will make this next... Now, if we're doing it bracket style, the winner of this one would have to face Nightcrawler, right?
Yes.
Okay, so this would might be a... I don't know how this match... I know how this matchup is going to turn out. Because I think you and me both agreed on the same kind of...
Probably.
Kind of thing. So we have Captain America versus Bane. I think Captain would win. After it would take... It wouldn't be a one-sided fight. For sure.
Yeah, no. Bane can lift up to 3 or 4 tons, depending on how much venom he's injecting himself with. Cap is, he's listed as 800 pounds, but we've seen him hold a helicopter. So.
I feel like the MCU Captain America is stronger than the regular Captain America.
Yes, and we're sticking with this.
The big thing, honestly, is like that shield plays such a big factor.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't matter how strong Bane gets, if he punches that shield, nothing is going to happen.
Yeah, that shield just doesn't obey the laws of physics.
Yeah.
And I think eventually the shield, like, bounces off that cube several times and somehow hits him in the back of the head and just knocks the tube out.
Yeah, I feel like, when I see most Batman fights against Bane, he ends up cutting his venom, which severely, hinders his like, he's still strong, but it, severely decreases his strength, his agility, and all that stuff. I can see Captain America easily doing that, even regardless of what it's made of, because he's got the shield, and he'd be able to slice it through anything, really.
Or don't forget the other route where Bane turns it up so high, he just goes crazy and ends up, collapsing after a few minutes of fighting.
Yeah, that's very true, too. I think, I think it would be a really, Bane is very durable.
Yes.
It would take a very long time, but I think, in the end, Captain America would wear him out, only because... I'm pretty sure with the super soldier serum, Cap actually would have more endurance. There was actually one point where I wrote this down. Where the fuck was it?
Yeah, I believe Cap actually does have a little bit more endurance than Bane because of the super soldier serum.
Yeah,
It's one of those, and the crossover thing. Him and Batman fought for days, I think. Or Batman said we could fight for days and be matched.
Even what's it called? I was reading random stats about the MCU Captain America. The way that somebody mapped out basically Captain's running route in Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And where he was when he passed Falcon both times, and where the sun was. So he knows how much time has passed and stuff. And he clocked in at running over 120 miles an hour.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is nuts. So the dude stand, he's just built Ford tough, basically. Mm-hmm. So I think in the end, Captain would definitely take the cake, so to say.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Well, that was not as debatable as the other one.
No.
So
Captain America versus Nightcrawler is gonna be interesting, but I think I might go Nightcrawler.
See, now that's gonna Captain America is way stronger than Daredevil and way stronger than Nightcrawler.
Yeah, that's true.
And, Cap has survived 200-foot falls like it's nothing.
Yeah, he can only go 100 foot up, so...
Yeah.
My theory might be thrown out here.
Cap
might be taken.
I feel like Cap would get one... If he got one good punch in, one sucker punch for America, just cocked his ass.
Maybe three or four. Let's not say one.
Plus...
But continue listening to find out. Definitely. We'll debate this later.
Yeah, I will say, though, Captain America should get +2 in his attacks against Germans, so...
Ah, damn. I forgot about that rule.
Yeah, right. So, next week's qualifiers, we're going to go through these. Depending on... We might do two and maybe four, depending on how long these are going. This one was a pretty decent one, but we got Colossus versus Venom, which will be pretty good. And then Thing versus Nightwing, which...
For some reason, when you said Nightwing, I thought of Darkwing Duck immediately.
Darkwing Duck.
I was like, wait a minute, that's okay. That'd be a hilarious fight, and Darkwing would probably win somehow, but...
The Darkwing one, or... Damn it.
But Nightwing.
Nightwing. Nightwing one I'm interested in, because, Nightwing's taken out, Grundy.
With his utility belt. Yeah. That's an important factor.
Yes. So that should be pretty interesting. We still got... the later ones are going to start mixing more non-Marvel DC kind of stuff. We got from The Boys and Hellboy and such. So...
Just those two, really, though.
Just those two. I was trying to make it seem like there's more, but... It did not work. Yeah. That's the podcast.
That's the podcast.
That was fun. That was a nice heated debate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Daredevil would have won in a hallway.
Yes.
100%. Nightcrawler tried to teleport. He'd probably catch him and then put him in the wall. Either as he teleports out or just in general, he would just put him through the wall.
Yeah, I think put him through the wall probably is more likely. Yeah. Kurt has an extrasensory spatial awareness that allows him to know where he is so he's not teleporting into walls or other people.
Yeah. Make sure you always check us out at House of Pod 1 on the social medias that I don't think we've really been using because no one really sends us anything. We like talking to people. This is the perfect time, too.
Mm-hmm. We're all alone and quarantined.
You should see, it's weird, at work, because I go to just different jobs at different houses, and like normally nobody's out talking because they're like out doing whatever, or just don't want to talk to the guy that they're paying to do something. But
makes sense,
man. Everybody is just super chatty this year. Everyone, and then it kind of freaks me out. I'm like, you got to make sure you stay away from me, please.
It's like, I'm outside not talking to you for a reason.
Yeah. The headphones are in because, yeah. So, yeah. House of Pod 1 at House of Pod 1. We'll start. If we start getting more things, we can start using more. Let us know what you think about our results for the fight. And, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll survive another week.
I think we'll be all right.
Stanley Willing.
Yes, Stanley Willing.
All right, do you have anything else?
I do not.
Any little nuggets of knowledge for the readers, the listeners? Why do I keep saying readers?
Well, you know, sometimes people print this out and read a transcript. I don't think they do that, but they can. Anyway, from House of Pod.
I'm Mike.
I am Bash.
Goodbye.